If baptism is the picture of our faith in Christ, then what must you have before you are baptized? The answer is faith. You must have genuine faith, repentance from sin, faith in forgiveness of sins in Christ. You must have faith then before you are baptized, because our baptism is a picture of our faith in Christ. So therefore, you must be saved before you are baptized.
Welcome back to Live in the Light, friends. We're thankful, as always, for your joining us here today. And today we are talking about baptism. That's right, an entire message devoted to baptism and what the Bible teaches, because it is just that important. More than just getting wet, more than just dunking people, we're going to see today from God's Word that baptism is a powerful symbol that communicates some heavy-duty truths. And in our series on the church, it makes serious sense that we stop and pause here today. So may the Lord lead us all today into an encouragement through baptism. Here's Pastor Robbie with today's message.
There's nothing more special or great to see someone baptized as a symbol of their salvation and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We really should hoot and holler and clap and be so excited, because that exactly is what is going on. Baptism is an ordinance. Baptism is a symbol. And therefore, baptism is this, then, a statement. Baptism is a statement. It becomes our opportunity to declare our faith in Christ to our friends and family in our church family, to stand in the tank and say, make no doubt about it, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And even beyond this a little bit, William MacDonald said this, I love this quote, he said this, there is a sense in which a believer attends the funeral of his old self when he is baptized. Isn't that good? Think about that. Think about that. Look at that for a second. In a sense, you stand in the water and you are declaring the old to be dead. It is a funeral service for the old self, which used to condemn you to hell, but now the old is gone, the new has come in Jesus Christ. I mean, baptism's awesome, right? When you see people baptized today, I mean, celebrate that reality, the funeral of the old self, that they are new creations in the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism has such meaning. You know the number one reason people are not baptized? Fear. I already had conversations today about this. The number one reason people are not baptized, fear of man. Listen, in some ways, again, I understand that. We want to walk with you in obedience of baptism. Never let the fear of man hold you back from the fear of God. And understanding Jesus Christ died for every sin, every one of your sins, past, present, future. The least we can do for him is to stand up in front of people who love us and say, Jesus is awesome, he saved me, please dunk me. Right? This is where we're going today. This is what we have to wrestle down, man. Life's too short not to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is baptism? We answered that. Second question is this, why should I get baptized? Why should I get baptized? That's a fair question. Besides what's already been stated, here are four reasons that I should get baptized. Number one, Jesus was baptized. On the screen for you, Jesus was baptized. In Matthew 3, now, and many gospel accounts, again, describe Jesus' baptism with John the Baptist. Now, Jesus did not need to be baptized. Why? Because Jesus had no sin. Baptism is a picture, again, of our salvation. Jesus Christ is salvation. So why was Jesus baptized then? He was baptized as an example for us. Jesus came as our representative. This is amazing. So in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus approaches John and says, John, you got to baptize me. And understandably, John's like pretty hesitant. He's like, what do you mean? Like, you should baptize me. I shouldn't baptize you. I'd say the exact same thing. But Jesus says, no, this must be done to fulfill all righteousness. So interesting. To fulfill all righteousness. See, Jesus, although he didn't need to be baptized, he wanted to be baptized to be obedient to the command of God, that the people of of God be baptized, that every single one of us now can look at Jesus as our example, as our representative, and said, he did it as my example. Should I not do it now? So some people say Jesus was baptized as our example, but we won't. Let's think through that one carefully. There's a reason to be baptized. Jesus was baptized. Secondly, Jesus commanded it. Jesus commanded it. We've already read from Matthew 28. It's simple yet unavoidable. Again, go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what baptism becomes, loved ones, for those genuinely saved in Christ, baptism becomes one of the easiest steps of obedience. It's simply a choice. In fact, it's one of the first steps of our sanctification to grow in Christ, is to take the step of baptism. Unlike other commands of Jesus that can be perceived as very hard, like never lust after a woman, never gossip, never give in to pride. Those are very difficult commands to obey. But then there's baptism. It's a choice. Will I or won't I? It's a matter of just standing up under the water, out of the water, declaring your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus commanded it. It's a choice of obedience. I suggest, based on Jesus' command, to obey. Think of when we don't obey. What happens there? Man, God will bless his obedience so much. Jesus commanded it. The apostles taught it. The apostles taught it in Acts chapter 2, one of many references. Peter was giving the first sermon of the early church. He preached the gospel, and at the end, as the people were broken, they were saved, and he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Clearly, the apostles taught it. And lastly, the early church practiced it. In Acts 8, Acts 9, Acts 10, Acts 16, just a few examples of the early church practicing believers' baptism. The application is so clear. Baptism was critical to Jesus, critical to the apostles, critical to the early church. It should be critical to us. Again, always remember, as you study the New Testament, and encourage you to do from here and continue your study, there is no such thing as an unbaptized believer in the New Testament. Let that sink in. There is no such thing as an unbaptized believer in the New Testament. That's how important it was to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit, and to those who were leading again the early church throughout the New Testament. Question number three, who should be baptized? Our study of Romans 6 today is very clear, but let's turn to an additional text for further support. I want you to turn right to the book of Colossians chapter 2. So Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Let me hear those Bibles turning, please. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Colossians 2. So good to hear the pages turning. Let's go, let's go. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Notice it says here again, what a great text on baptism. Paul says again, notice, Colossians 2, 12, having been buried with him, with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with Christ, notice, through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. What Paul appears to be saying here is that baptism is a picture of our faith in Christ. Again, another verse that's highlighting that so clearly. And the question becomes then this: if baptism is the picture of our faith in Christ, then what must you have before you are baptized? The answer is faith. You must have genuine faith, repentance from sin, faith in forgiveness of sins in Christ. You must have faith then before you are baptized, because our baptism is a picture of our faith in Christ. So therefore, you must be saved before you are baptized. True faith in Christ comes from someone being born again, regenerated, regeneration by the power of the Holy Spirit. This person is made alive by the Holy Spirit. They place their faith in Jesus Christ. They are forgiven. They are saved. They are a genuine believer. They are a new creation. So baptism then is a response to true faith. But the Bible so clearly teaches. So here's a couple of questions. Can an infant have true faith in Jesus Christ? Can an infant place their trust and faith in Jesus Christ? Can a parent choose faith for their child? Can a parent cause salvation for an infant? We know, of course they can't. Of course they can't. Every single human being must answer to God on their own, again, their own place. They must answer for themselves. You never get to the end and be like, well, what she said, or what he said, or what my dad said, or what my mom said, it's never gonna work. Every single person is accountable for themselves. Faith is required before baptism is to be observed. Just to prove this point further, let's see a bunch of passages on who should be baptized on the screen for you. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. Notice the progress, okay, in all these verses. Notice, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, then they were baptized. Notice, they believed and they were baptized, both men and women. Acts 2 is on the screen next. Notice, Peter, again, we heard this already, repent and be baptized. Notice the order, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent, believe, be saved, faith, then be baptized. Acts chapter 18 on the screen for you. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together. His household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed first, faith first, then baptism. This is the undeniable pattern, again, all throughout the New Testament. The answer is very clear. Who should be baptized? All believers in Jesus Christ are to be baptized, those who are saved by grace through faith. So all believers should be baptized. Listen carefully. Only believers should be baptized. All believers should be baptized. Only genuine believers should be baptized. So whether you're the Catholic Church and you teach on some form in some way, in all seriousness, they teach that baptism adds to regeneration of the infant. Not in the Bible. Be very careful, not in the Bible. Baptism does not regenerate us. Faith does, by grace through faith. We just went through all that. Whether in other Protestant denominations say that infant baptism indicates a probable future regeneration, with the utmost respect to the different backgrounds, including my own, as you'll hear in just a second. But what does the Bible teach about that? The point cannot be avoided according to Scripture. Baptism follows faith. It's a symbol of our salvation. And maybe you're here today and you say, well, I was baptized as an infant. You know what? Me too. So was I. But the problem that I had about being baptized, and it's no disrespect to anyone or even like the way my family and the way we were raised and all kind of stuff and like my grandparents, but when I was baptized as an infant, no one asked me if I was saved because it was impossible to. But then all of a sudden, 21 years later, I came into relationship with Jesus Christ and my eyes were opened and my heart was made new. And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ, I realized he was Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ was the answer to everything I was ever looking for. He was forgiveness of my sins. He made me a new creation. I came alive. I went from death to life and the power of Satan to God. Light again surrounded me. The Holy Spirit indwelt me, never to be the same again. That was 1997. And from that point, all of a sudden, I start reading Scripture and I find out, again, it's those with genuine faith are to be baptized. And so then I was baptized as a believer in Jesus Christ with my wife right beside me. And that made all the sense in the world. And it was awesome. The way we believe Scripture so clearly teaches it. What we're seeing here is biblical baptism follows salvation every single time. This leads us well into question number 4. When should I be baptized then? When should I be baptized? We've answered this question essentially, but I want to be as clear as possible in this message. This is when I should be baptized, after being saved by Jesus Christ. So there's often this notion, some of you are struggling with this right now, there's this notion of I need to be in a certain place spiritually before I'm baptized. I got to be a certain level of maturity. I have to come along a certain way. I have to memorize a certain amount of verses before I can be baptized. That is not in the Bible. There is a requirement. It's this: salvation. You must be genuinely saved in Jesus Christ. That's the only requirement, spiritually speaking. It's not about having everything all together. It's not about reading the Bible at least through once. It's not about waiting for your family to be there to see you. It's not about lining up your baptism with your birthday. It's not about that. It's about obedience to Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're genuinely saved in Christ, you're ready right now. You're ready right now. If you are genuinely saved and alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, man, the believers did not wait until they were mature in their faith. In fact, their baptism was the first step of faith in their process of becoming more like Jesus Christ. If you're genuinely saved, you're ready now. Now, the only caveat we would say again as elders and pastors here at Hope is regarding young children. Not that young children can't be baptized. There's principles of wisdom, though, as we approach it. Sometimes there's excitement. Sometimes there's just a kind of hear something and there's just an emotional reaction. Again, we understand that. But sometimes we've all seen this is young people or others have been baptized in a sense of emotion, but then you give it time, months, years, and you kind of look at that person and you're like, wait, there's no fruit. They're just totally gone. They're not in the church anymore. And you look back and you say, well, there's something that's not adding up there. Obviously, that wasn't legit. So we want to avoid that as much as possible here at Hope, again, on behalf of the elders. There's no way to do this perfectly. In my reading of the book of Acts, the early church and the apostles, they improperly baptized at least one person, Simon the Magician. I don't see how he was saved before Paul looks at him and says, the gall of bitterness and evil dwells within you. Just to say, but we want to do our very best to see as much as possible as we can see and pray and control that people genuinely saved will be baptized. Here are some guidelines for parents in deciding whether their children should be baptized. Or again, this applies to anyone. Number one, are they capable of giving a credible, believable profession of faith? Can they articulate the gospel in some way? They don't have to be theologians. They don't have to have everything right. But can they articulate on some level? Are they consistently showing evidence of a genuine spiritual life? Is there fruit? The thing I want to see, my kids, I want to see. Is there fruit? Is there the fruit of the Spirit? That's what the Lord produces in us. Do they understand what they are doing and saying? Do they appreciate the importance and the significance of the event? And this can be applied to all ages. And I understand everything I've just said already. If you are saved in Jesus Christ genuinely, that is the only requirement for you, again, to be baptized. Just principles of wisdom as we walk with people to say, amen. If you go from death to life, there should be an ability to explain that on some level. To testify to the fact that Jesus Christ, again, has set you free, even if it's not in technical Christianese. We actually don't like technical Christianese. Just to express from the heart, though, to say, I know I was dead, but now I'm alive. We're like, awesome, let's go. Baptism, boom, there you go in the tank. That's awesome. This is what we're praying for. Because people who stare at you, though, and be like, what does it mean to be a Christian? Like, to be a Christian, it means I do good? Well, no. And that, this happened many times, right? But tell me, how does someone become a Christian? By being a good person. No, that's not how someone becomes a Christian. It's by repenting of my sins and placing my faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins when he died on the cross and he gave me life. That's how someone becomes a Christian, by grace, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can never be good enough to become a Christian. But all that to say too, when someone is genuinely saved in Jesus Christ, man, baptism is the next step of obedience. And now we hit our fifth and final question. How should I be baptized? How should I be baptized? It's good to know there's very little dispute in regards to the way that the early church baptized. The word used for baptism in the New Testament is always either one of two words, bapto or baptizo. Clearly means to dip in the Greek, to dip or to immerse under. There are numerous other words that the New Testament authors could have used in the Greek, so many words available if they wanted to. They could have used Greek words for sprinkling, pouring, or moistening. But every single time, the word that is chosen is either bapto or baptizo. And that comes literally from a dye or a garment being immersed into a dye. That was the literal meaning behind that word in ancient times. The word baptism is used 82 times in the New Testament, 61 of those times referring to a person placed underwater. 14 times it's used to be going through or under a painful ordeal, as in like the Jesus and his baptism of suffering. The other 7 times refers to being baptized into the Holy Spirit, fully immersed by the Holy Spirit. Again, the point being here, the word immersion is to go under or to dip into. Beyond this truth, there are other scriptural references that point to immersion as the practice of baptism. In Mark 1, describing Jesus' baptism, it says, and when he came up out of the water. John 3, John the Baptist was baptizing because water was plentiful there. Acts 8, Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch, it says they both went down into the water. All of these examples suggest immersion as a mode of baptism as opposed to sprinkling or pouring. The best part, though, of baptism by immersion is what it symbolizes or what it pictures. Identifying with Christ in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection. And that is the beauty and the power and the significance of baptism. So what's up with baptism? A lot of really, really good stuff is up with baptism. Very important to the Father, very important to Jesus Christ, and very important to the Holy Spirit. And we get to see some baptisms today. It is awesome. In fact, there are 3 people here right now, I believe, and they are going to actually stand up right now and come forward, and they are going to be baptized. So you guys can do that right now. Let's give them a hand, church. Let's clear them on. Here we go. Amen. Amen. Go give it up. Give it up. Different format today. I love that so much. You get to preach on baptism and then see baptism in front of us. Again, baptism is so good. But just before we see our dear brothers and sisters baptized in Christ before us today, I only have one more question. And this is the question for all believers in Christ right now who have yet to be baptized. The question I have for you is, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Hey, here in this room right now, you're baptized or you are saved in Jesus Christ, not yet baptized. What are you waiting for? Hey, outside right now, sitting on the front lawn, you are saved in Jesus Christ, not yet baptized. Hey, those online right now, you are saved in Jesus Christ. You have not yet been baptized. What are you waiting for? It's a fair question that's got to be asked. There is no such thing as an unbaptized believer in the New Testament. So listen, you're running out of excuses. You're running out of excuses. In fact, right now, the Holy Spirit, man, he's knocking on your heart. Right now, your heart might be beating a little faster, a lot faster than it was a few minutes ago. Because the Holy Spirit right now is reaching down to you and says, my child, it's the first and in some ways the easiest step of obedience if you're genuinely following the Lord Jesus Christ. I love what it says in Acts 22. It says, and now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized. And why do you wait? Rise and be baptized, calling on his name. So we have baptisms today. But Lord willing, 2 weeks from now, we're going to have a bunch more baptisms of people who are responding in faith to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit right now, who is calling you to be baptized, and we want to know who you are. You can sign up online right now on our connections card and indicate. You can fill out a connections card, and you can go to the connections desk and hand that in. I need to be baptized. But even better and more encouraging right now for us in this room right now or outside our overflow, wherever it may be, I wonder who here right now the Lord is calling you to be baptized today. And we want to know who you are. Heart's beating fast, the Holy Spirit working. If that's you today, and you know without a doubt, I mean, you already know this, me for several minutes now, the Holy Spirit's like, my child, it's time for you to be baptized in obedience to me. I want you to stand where you are. I just want you to stand right now. You get to give you a t-shirt and give you a card, for the Lord is working. Amen, brother, right there. Amen, that's awesome. Who else? Amen, right there, amen. That's good, yes. Who else? Who else? Amen. Who needs to be baptized today? Amen. At the back, brother, what's up? I love it. I love it. Amen. Amen. You can stay standing until you get your shirt. Right there, sister, baptized? Yes, let's go. I love it. Who else needs to be baptized? Amen. 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 Some of you right now, here's what always happens, man. It's the wrestling match with God. I know. I saw it last service. It's remarkable. Maybe outside right now, online right now, again, you got to sign up. God is calling you right now to be obedient to him. One of the easiest steps of obedience. But maybe here, even right now, maybe right here in this room right now, it's the battle of the Holy Spirit. But just to, in front of brothers and sisters, the Lord called you. Is there anyone else here right now that you're trying to fight it, but the Holy Spirit's like, man, child, give up, that you want to be baptized. Your turn to stand, that we can just love you right now and cheer for you. Anyone else here right now? Maybe outside here, give a few more seconds. It's always amazing. I talked to people after last service. Like, I was, yes, I love it. Amen. Let's go. Woo. Amen. There you go. It's so good. I love it. Bless you. A young man came up to me after last service, and he was there watching a friend be baptized, and he was like, Pastor, I just want you to know, man, I was this close to standing up. I was just so afraid. I was this close. Number one reason, fear. I'm like, brother, I get it, but don't let that stop you. This is about Jesus Christ. He died for you. You can speak for him. And I love it. He's like, I got to do it. I go, amen, you got to do it. And Lord willing, he will do it. Anyone else? Yes, I love it. Let's go, right there, right beside you, amen. Amen, I love it. It's amazing, the Lord working and helping and encouraging. We're just not in a rush today. I wonder what's happening outside. I pray the Lord's moving and overflow, the Lord's moving. This is young people here today, you know, like, time to commit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, right there. I love it. Yes. Woo. Amen, young woman. I love it. Woo. You can't blame me for waiting. Just don't want to rush these moments. They're so precious. We need them so much. Be praying for all of you. As the days go by, we'll be meeting with you, calling you. You got to fill out the information on the card that you were given. It's so important. And you can hand that into the connections desk before you leave today, because we can connect with you, love you, and walk with you as we prepare for baptisms coming up in a couple weeks from now. And if you are here today and you know that the Lord is calling you, every reason right now, and just your legs won't work, then you got to sign up before you leave today. You go to the connections desk. You got to sign up today before you leave. Again, just respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying, man. Lord, hear our yes, not our no, our yes. And now we get to watch baptisms for real. Isn't that awesome? I'm so thankful. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, thank you so much as your church that we are seeing the fruit of obedience. And I pray, Lord, you will lead so many in these days to respond to. I pray for those online right now. I just wonder, Lord, who online right now, they're sitting there and their hearts are just so filled with conviction in such a good way and excitement and joy, and they know they have to do it. Give them the encouragement and the resolve to follow through. They would contact the church, Lord, and they would find a way to get here so soon that they might fulfill obedience to Jesus Christ. Lord, lead us now. May we rejoice in these testimonies. I pray you give them such encouragement and faith and love them so much. As we hear this now, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
At Live in the Light, we believe that through the faithful and the passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. Thanks for joining us today, listeners. We hope you join us again next time here on Live in the Light.